I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Today, a grand jury sitting in the Eastern District of North Carolina returned an indictment against James Comey on two counts. The first count is that on or about May 15th of last year, he knowingly and willfully making a threat to take the life of and to inflict bodily harm upon the President of the United States. Count two, same day, May 15th, 2025, that the defendant, James Comey, knowingly and willfully transmitting in interstate commerce a communication that contained a threat to kill the President of the United States. Both of these counts carry a maximum term of imprisonment of 10 years. So I think it's fair to say that threatening the life of anybody is dangerous and potentially a crime. Threatening the life of the President of the United States will never be tolerated by the Department of Justice.
Nor should it. And that's Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. But, are you listening? Are you listening? Because I'm not going to fully back this indictment. I have real questions about this being a true threat against the President. If you spray graffiti on a building saying, kill Trump, I want you investigated. I want to know what's going on with you. But I don't know that you can indict and say that your plan was to kill Trump because you spray painted that. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I don't like you burning the U.S. flag. But that also falls under First Amendment. Well, Larry, this is akin to shouting fire in a crowded theater. Not exactly. And of course, remember this involves the seashells that were found by James Comey and his wife, as they tell the story, when they were just walking along the beach in North Carolina. I don't buy that story either. I think they fabricated it. They put it there. Comey himself probably did it. But charging him under a federal grand jury of threatening to harm or kill President Trump because he took a picture of those seashells and posted them? Folks, I know you want justice, but you've got to make sure we follow our laws and you do not violate our Constitution. I know I'm rankling some of you listening. I know that. But I'm very solid on this point. We'll get into it in more detail. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are on April 29, 2026, reminding you that every Monday through Friday, we're here from 6 to 8 p.m. A program note for you. Friday, this coming Friday, Jamie Allman's taking some time off, so no three martini luncheon. No three martini luncheon. We're going to have Jack and tequila and everything else noon to two because I'll be hosting that program. Larry Connors USA airing at noon this Friday. But it will repeat again at 6 to 8 in case you can't catch it at that time. And also put this on your calendar. Tuesday, June 2nd. The Hammond Institute at Lindenwood University announcing a St. Charles County executive debate. We will be there. We will be helping sponsor it. We will be carrying it live, and it will begin at 7 o'clock that evening on June 2nd on the campus of Lindenwood University. You can attend. Cost you nothing, but you do need to let them know you're coming so they can make space. Simply go to Newstalk STL and get more details. And as an added program note, I'll make it clear to you, we will air only 6 to 7 on that evening. So then we can switch to the debate being held on the Lindenwood University campus. As the current county executive of St. Charles, Steve Ellman, debates challengers Missouri State Senator, former Missouri State Senator Bill Igel, and Jason Law, former mayor of Lake St. Louis, current lieutenant colonel with the St. Louis County Police Department. Get involved, either by listening or being there in person. With Larry Connors USA, I remind you, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have as we begin the hour. For those listening in the last hour, you heard and learned some of the things about what we as the U.S. are doing with the U.N. and what the U.N. in turn has done as a slap in the face, not only to us, but the world. Oh, you didn't hear that. It's available on a podcast. How do you find the podcast? NewsTalkSTL.com or Larry Connors USA, NewsTalkSTL.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, always available for you. Once again, back to these charges involving the former FBI Director James Comey and our Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche.
Over the past year, this department has charged dozens of cases involving threats against all sorts of individuals. We take these seriously, every single one of them. For example, just today in the Northern District of Florida, there was a guilty plea from an individual who threatened multiple political leaders, including President Trump. In the Eastern District of North Carolina, where this case was indicted earlier today, there are multiple threats cases very similar to this one, including one where the defendant pled guilty recently to threatening former President Biden, another one that's scheduled to go to trial this summer, another one indicted, an individual was indicted for threatening Tom Homan. I say that to say that while this case is unique and this indictment stands out because of the name of the defendant, his alleged conduct is the same kind of conduct that we will never tolerate and that we will always investigate and regularly prosecute.
And as far as the guy that tried to break into the correspondents' dinner the other night and shoot, yes, go with him full blast. And the Justice Department is fighting to make sure that he's not released on bail. No, of course he shouldn't be released. And some of the other cases Blanche was mentioning probably do deserve arrest, charges, everything else. But I can't bring myself to that level with the James Comey and the seashell incident. Finding seashells reading four numbers, 86, 47. 86 in the restaurant business is mainly meant cancel that order, kill it. But it's also in a higher level, on a criminal level, means kill, get rid of someone. And 47 stands for Trump at that time was the 47th president. Do I think those shells just happen to be there? No, I don't. But again, I'm not sure that should go to the level of an indictment charging him with threatening to harm or kill President Trump. I just cannot go there, folks. Although I don't like him one bit. And I want you to hear a difference in the way the left has reacted to this most recent, a third attempt to try to get Trump. And Jimmy Kimmel the other day, he made a remark even before that White House correspondents' dinner. Melania Trump is looking like a glowing, expectant widow. And he thought that was funny. And then later said, no, I wasn't referring, and it did happen before the correspondents' dinner. He said, I was referring to their age difference. I wasn't suggesting that he will be killed. I don't believe Jimmy Kimmel one bit. But aside from that, go back in time to when Ronald Reagan was leaving that same hotel and was nearly assassinated outside. And that night was to be the Academy Awards. Listen to how Johnny Carson, late night show host, introduced the awards when they did resume the following night.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that all of you here and most of you watching tonight understand why we delayed this program for 24 hours. Because of the incredible events of yesterday, that old adage, the show must go on, seemed relatively unimportant. The Academy, ABC Television, and all of us connected with the show felt because of the uncertain outcome, as of this time yesterday, it would have been inappropriate to stage a celebration. But the news today is very good, as you know. The president is in excellent condition at last reports. He's been conducting business. And he happens to be in very good spirits. After all, you must remember this is a man who yesterday, while he was in the hospital unable to speak, wrote on a sheet of paper, "All things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." So tonight the show does go on. Now, 2 weeks ago, President Reagan videotaped an opening greeting for this occasion. We were in contact with the White House about 2 hours ago, and it was the president's express wishes that we use that introduction. And I might add that you might like to know that he also asked for a television set in his room so he could view this program tonight. Actually, the president was in such good form today, I was very tempted to call him and ask him if he had any more of those one-liners that I could use.
Johnny Carson, what a 180 from when he and the Academy and those applauding members of the Hollywood elite, mostly liberal Democrats. Johnny Carson was a Democrat, but they were applauding that the president was in good shape. And they all recognized there's no way we could hold an Academy Awards as scheduled the night before, following the afternoon attempt to kill President Reagan. Not until they knew that he was okay. How far we have gone off track. The Supreme Court issued a ruling on voting rights. I want to get into that, but first I want you to hear from an Indiana podcaster, Kira Davis, with a legitimate question about elections in our nation.
Why in the hell would we print ballots in Chinese unless we want the Chinese to vote? Don't give me all, Kira, some immigrants. All right, if you're an immigrant, assimilate. And if you're not going to assimilate, get the hell out. What you shouldn't be doing is voting. We should not be allowing this. And then you can ask for a video conference, too, again, on the taxpayer dime. When I'm queen of California, that will not happen. If you can't speak English, then get out. If you can't speak English and you need help to vote, you can't vote because you don't know what's going on. If you don't speak English, you don't understand the American system of government. You cannot vote. That should be a no-brainer. And ultimately, it shouldn't happen anyway, because you're supposed to be able to understand, read, and write English when you get your citizenship.
You know, as it is now, if you have to go through some company you're trying to call and everything's automated, push one for English, push two for Spanish. We haven't gotten to push three for Chinese, push four for Korean. We're not there yet, but they're going to be moving there if we keep going this direction. Her point is very clear. If you came to this country to be part of it, you do need to learn the language, to educate yourself and make sure you're aware of what you're voting for. The problem is we have a lot of so-called Americans who still don't know. They don't pay attention. The Supreme Court earlier today struck down a race-based redistricting map in Louisiana, ruling that Louisiana's second black majority district violates the Constitution, that they had created gerrymandered an illegal racial district. It was a 6-3 voting, a majority order from the court. This limits the scope of a key Voting Rights Act provision that does restrict how states draw districts affecting minority voters. The ruling does not overturn the Voting Rights Act. It is likely to narrow how minority representation influences congressional maps and trigger even more legal challenges over congressional boundaries. And during the arguments, Justice Kavanaugh and other conservatives on the court appeared open to the idea that Congress, in passing the 65 Voting Rights Act law, might have intended for a sunset period for Section 2 to weaken over a period of time. Section 2 says, as properly construed, can provide, according to Justice Alito, writing for the majority, does not impose liability at odds with the Constitution and should not have imposed liability on Louisiana for a 2022 map. Now, I know a lot of this is legalese. It might lose you, and I understand that, especially as you're listening to it. But the bottom line is they struck down a race-based redistricting map in Louisiana. Gerrymandering. They would have and should have struck down a map that had been gerrymandered for a white-based district, just to make sure. And, of course, in Virginia, we know that's already being contested. And then we've got just the effort to get voter ID. That doesn't happen in many cases because they claim that's going to be a violation. Let me give you an example. Senator Alex Padilla, Democrat of California, argued, the issue with voter ID measures is, what if you forget your ID or you forgot to renew it? You wouldn't be able to vote. If they're that stupid, they should not be allowed to vote. If you're going to vote, you know you're going to need a voter ID, or you should. And then you've got a former French ambassador claiming that Trump will try to rig the upcoming midterm elections. Based on what? Based on what? The rigging of elections has clearly been at the hands of the left. Hillary Clinton, Russiagate, all proven to be false and lies. A little bit later, a Marine's response to a Dear John letter that you're going to find humorous. And also investigating fraud at every level. But first, can you reverse homelessness and a crisis in one community in 5 years? Can you do that in 5 years? My guess says that's exactly what we can and will do if we have everything we need to make it happen. You don't want to miss this conversation coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There is superstitious writings on the wall. Very superstitious letters about to fall.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We're in the process of establishing communications with my guest. She is the CEO of Free Up Foundation. Now, Free Up Foundation is built upon the idea of creating better communities. In fact, they have a mission: reverse a community homeless crisis within 5 years. Impossible? Well, we have to ask that question. But they're working on it. Joining us now, Michelle Steeb, CEO of Free Up Foundation. Glad to have you on board, Michelle. Hello, Michelle. Well, once again, we lost her. We'll try to reestablish. You know, these communications issue. We can put a man on the moon, but things like this happen. In fact, we could shoot beyond the moon, right? And plan in the future a station on the moon. But sometimes communications still break down from time to time. But Michelle Steeb, as I said, is the CEO of the Free Up Foundation, which has on its plan to, and a mission, to reverse a community homeless crisis within 5 years. Michelle, welcome aboard. Well, I don't like this one bit, but I'm going to have to cover until we get her lined up. I don't know what the problem is, but this Free Up Foundation, let me give you some background on it. They want to see recovery and self-reliance across the nation. And they say efficiency and cost effective could take place if we got rid of our homeless crisis within 5 years. But exactly how do you do it? You know where it starts, and this is probably where it should start in every home. And that is, one, accountability, but also add to that faith. And if faith can help finally maybe solve the homeless crisis. Michelle, I think we have you established. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Sorry about the connection issues.
It happens. It happens. It happens all the time. It just knows it. But I was outlining to them that you have this mission to reverse a community homeless crisis within 5 years. That sounds outstanding. Also sounds impossible.
Well, I think, unfortunately, as America has battled this crisis for the last 12 years, and we've been promised that it would be ending under, you know, a 300% increase in spending and a policy called Housing First, as those things were promised, we've become, you know, immune. we tolerate, you know, what's now in front of us, which is a 35% increase in homelessness, not a ending it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, despite a 300% increase in spending along the way. However, I spent 13 years running Northern California's largest program for homeless women and children. I surround I built a team of people with over 100 years of combined frontline experience. And we have at the ground level reduced homelessness in the worst conditions. One of our team members was on Skid Row for 30 years. We in the program I ran, women coming out of situations that were the bottom of the bottom, who are now homeowners, single mothers who are now homeowners in California.
Wow.
So this can be done. It needs to be done. And we have developed a system, again, the people with over 100 years of frontline experience to do that.
What you're saying you've accomplished, why is Governor Newsom and all the other leftist leaders in California not saying, we can solve this if we follow that plan and that project, that model? What's the issue?
I wish I could get into the brain of that man of his fellow legislators, but I will tell you, he is not only supporting failed policy that has resulted in a 40% increase under his watch in California, but he is blocking reforms to that policy. Last year, Governor Newsom vetoed a bill that would have set aside 10% of homeless funding for sober housing. It's not currently allowed in California with California dollars. And he vetoed it, saying it's not necessary. So he is not only supporting policy that has been a disaster for his state, a disaster at the federal level as well, but he is blocking any reforms. He signed on to a court case to block the reforms that the Trump administration is proposing. He is absolutely evil
Where is that money going then? To their pet projects?
It's being and bureaucracy and, expansion of government, expansion of nonprofit organizations that look like they're supporting the homeless, but then use their money to support progressive politicians and causes. It's going. The money is being spent, but it's completely unaccounted for when it comes to solving homelessness.
You're listening to Michelle Steeb. She is the CEO of Free Up Foundation. You say you've had years of experience and success in Northern California. Were you talking about north of Sacramento, something like that? Where exactly?
Sacramento area, yes.
Actually in the Sacramento region. Area. Okay. So, yes. I don't see a lot of reports of the homeless spilling all over the streets in Sacramento, but you go on down to L.A. and you go down to Ventura, all of the area south of there, there seems to be a demarcation line.
Well, unfortunately, I'm here to say that Sacramento is home to one of the largest increases in the country at the county level. Between two counts, the 2022 and 2024 count, homelessness went up nearly 70% in Sacramento County.
Does that say you're failing? Does that say you're failing?
Well, the program that I built and ran is not failing, but it is going against the prevailing winds. The prevailing winds are all we need to do for the homeless is hand them keys to an apartment.
Yeah.
And once they get in an apartment, even though they don't have to be sober, even though they don't have to work ever, they're going to somehow come to the conclusion that they need help resolving some of these other issues that they deal with, largely mental illness and addiction. They're somehow going to realize that they need help with those issues and they're going to seek that help.
There's one thing I want to deal with in particular, and that is faith in a moment. But first, very quickly, before we run out of time, since we lost some on the beginning, you guys focus on structure and sobriety to stabilize the mind and body, and purpose and work to restore dignity. Those are great starting points.
Yeah, it's crucial. Human beings were born with innate purpose. We were born with an ability to accomplish what God put us on this earth to accomplish. And, it gets so frustrating for me to hear people say, oh, well, they just want to do drugs. No one, when they were in first grade and sat Indian style with the first grade teacher, and she said, what do you want to be when you grow up? None of these people said they wanted to be this. They wanted to be addicted on the streets. They lost their purpose. We have to help them regain it. Being sober and gaining clear mind is a crucial step to that process.
And you believe faith, obviously, and I would agree with you, would be an essential part of it, even if they're not believers.
1,000%. I mean, if you believe in the 12 steps, right, that is a program built on faith. Celebrate Recovery, a program built on faith. You need to have hope in order to want to do the work to change your life. And that starts with faith. So, yes, they don't have to be outward believers, but they have to have faith in an ability to change to start.
And you know what? You look at some of those people on the streets and the conditions they're in, they're but by the grace of God, we could be in those shoes.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%. It can happen to any of us. And I deal with parents of kids who grew up in, pretty outstanding circumstances who, have fallen addicted to drugs and spiraled out of control. It can happen to any of us. And we all need to be on the path to ensuring that our nation's goal for everyone in the country, and including the homeless, is recovery and restoration.
I want to point out to the audience, you can get more information about this. Go to freeupfoundation.com, freeupfoundation, all one word, .com, and you'll learn more about what Michelle and her group are doing. And God bless your work, because obviously you have a terrific mission ahead of you, and obviously a great attitude to make things change for the better. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. God bless your work. That's an enormous task, trying to bring recovery, self-reliance to those on the streets that seem so desperate, living in tent shelters, thinking no one really cares anymore. It starts with someone caring, and that starts with showing them how to correct things that they're doing wrong. President Trump, of course, has been entertaining King Charles, and he made a remark about that. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington
takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Music loud, women want the thing kicked around since I was born. Never tolerate, I don't hate. And you may look the other way, but we can try to understand. And New York Times are being a man.
When you're a brother away, there ain't nothing staying alive.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And Queen Camilla of the United Kingdom to the White House. Very special place. Very, very special. And I also want to, before we really begin, I want to congratulate Charles on having made a fantastic speech today at Congress. He got the Democrats to stand. I've never been able to do that. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
The King of England was able to get the Democrats to stand in Congress. Trump having a little fun there. We've had King Charles III and Camilla making a four-day swing in our U.S. It all began, of course, with part of an address to Congress. And they've done more. They've visited the 9/11 Memorial in New York on their third day of their state visit. And also a community initiative in Harlem. There were some Iranian comments at a state dinner hosted by President Trump from last night, trying to, British royals basically trying to downplay any comments made by Trump during the dinner that might reveal Charles's views on Iran. During his address to the joint meeting of Congress, he subtly, but with some force, pushed back, as is written by the Associated Press here, pushed back on several issues that Trump has sparred with Britain over in recent months, including offering praise to NATO. And Trump and others have obviously criticized NATO for not getting involved in the conflict with Iran. UK is part of NATO, obviously. And yes, the only thing they've said is that they might join with other volunteers to help enforce the blockade. But so far, they haven't done anything. And the word from Trump is, as of today, the blockade might continue for months. That is not what Iran wants to hear. They're already suffering. They are reaching a point, we told you yesterday, maybe within 12 days of running out of places to store any of the oil and gas they can't ship out of the country. Now, if they can't ship it out and they are running out of places to store it, the other part of that equation is they're not getting any money. And if Iran is not getting any money, the nation is hurting, obviously. The people are hurting, not the regime. The regime, like every dictatorship, will always be at the top of the top. It's those down below that will suffer. As Bill Maher was saying the other night, that he needs an explanation of the tax code. He said, I thought we were going to tax the rich and rich. He said, I'm paying 40%. I correct that. 60% of what I earn in taxes. That would be federal as well as state in California or wherever else he lives. It'd be New York. Whatever he has between all of them, he's estimating 60% of my money I earn is being spent on taxes. He said, yet I hear Bernie saying the rich aren't paying their fair share.
So when liberals start crying out, oh, this is hurting me, and we've seen it, they're voting now with their feet as well, picking up their corporations, moving out of an area where they're being overtaxed personally and corporately, and reassembling somewhere else, like a tax-free state, which we're still pushing for. In Missouri, no income tax, and escaping a penalty tax because you're rich. Might as well go back to locking up those who can't pay taxes. One other thing King Charles and the Queen did, they did meet, as I said, at the 9/11 memorial, and they also did meet with some of those families of the victims of 9/11. Among the groups, a group called Tuesday's Children, a nonprofit organization which has been offering youth membership, community program, and other efforts. And in his speech to Congress, King Charles had said, we're going to go there. He said, we want to again pay our respects to the victims, the families, the bravery shown in the face of this terrible loss. And they also met with many first responders. And as I said, they went to Harlem. And of course, they met with Mamdani and Governor Hochul. But I think Trump said it all when he pointed out that you actually got the Democrats to stand. I never got them to stand. But one thing Trump did also point out, and of course this goes back to the split between the crown and the new America as we started with our founding fathers. And Trump referring to our Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence was a miracle for the ages that sparked a far-reaching revolution in self-government and human freedom. But even though the political bonds between the United States and Great Britain were dissolved forever, they thought, on July 4th, 1776, the more powerful strands of memory, culture, and identity proved unbreakable in any conflict and grew into a friendship unlike any other on earth, a very, very special and incredible friendship. Historians have noted that to this day, the distinct regions of the United States still echo with the particular accents, habits, and traditions of the British communities that first settled them centuries ago. The names of half of the original American states refer to members of the British royal family, as do American cities from Charleston to Annapolis, Charlotte to Albany, and even the place where I grew up and actually loved very much, Queens, New York. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought the boy from Queens would end up being president of the U.S.? Not once, but twice. And a third time. Oh, no. I almost had you there, didn't I? The Supreme Court made a ruling today, which is a bombshell ruling in the view of observers. It dealt with the Section 2 of the Voting Rights of 1965. It basically smacks down rampant race-based gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is reconstructing your voting districts, congressional districts, so you get more representation in the House of Congress. Each state gets only two senators. You know that. But each state gets a number of representatives based on the population. But then the way you carve out those districts, you've got to take your total population and carve it out and supposedly make it equal. Now, you can't always be vote for vote from District 11 to District 12 or whatever you have in your state. But you do the best you can on the numbers. But then if you're also doing it simply to establish racial balance, imbalance even, that's wrong. It's wrong if you're doing it for white or any other minority group. And yes, I would say in some cases, whites would be the minority.
Justice Alito wrote that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was designed to enforce the Constitution, not collide with it. He said, unfortunately, lower courts have sometimes applied this in a way that forces states to engage in the very race-based discrimination the Constitution forbids. That's what Justice Alito wrote for the majority in the 6-3 vote. This was a Louisiana case centering around Louisiana creating a second majority black district in its most recent congressional map. And they knew what they were doing. They said, let's put all of the black people into this district so you'll never get any vote out of there that's not endorsed by blacks. You know, that's going to raise an issue, too, because you look at how the voting populace is changing. There are many blacks, they're not following the leftist lead. You just stay home, we'll come by and pick you up on the urban plantation, take you to the voting polls, vote the way we tell you to, we'll take you back home. Because you're not smart enough to vote. You're not smart enough to get a voter ID. Many blacks and other minority groups are fighting against that. As well they should. But Louisiana, when they added this second majority minority district following a lower court order, said that its original map included only one majority black district, according to the High Court, violated Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. And again, Justice Alito said, this is not to be a liability at odds with the Constitution. It should not impose a liability on Louisiana. Therefore, the state's use of race-based redistricting here is wrong. Unconstitutional racial gerrymandering. It's going to be a very big, big ruling. And as it's analyzed and going forward, we're going to see more states being closely evaluated. Did you draw this district map based around racial preferences or population? And of course, we have the fraud that's been rampant across our nation. And I don't mean just in Minnesota. I don't mean just in California. And you look and listen to Ag Secretary Rawlings, they're going after it at every level.
Sharing. Previously, no data was shared. We had no idea where the taxpayer dollars were spent. Just one red state, the recent dump of data, we found SNAP recipients had more than 2,000 Tesla owners, 200 Alfa Romeo owners, more than 144 that were receiving food stamps were driving Porsches. Again, this is the data dumps we're getting because that before we had no accountability on any of these programs. We now are requiring accountability. The blue states are suing us. They don't want to share the data. And can you imagine this was a red state where there is actually some taxpayer accountability? Imagine what's happening in the blue states if that's happening in the red state.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're on SNAP benefits, supplemental nutrition benefits, meant for families that are truly poor that need help putting food on the table. And the other generations have been raised with that's my life. That's what I will be doing, is relying on SNAP benefits and not really encouraging them to get off of. But on top of that, some of those getting that were buying Teslas or leasing them. That's not cheap either. Or more expensive cars. By the way, the DOJ announcing a repeal of several Biden gun regs. Several Biden gun regs that have really tightened down and misapplied the law against your Second Amendment rights. And against that, let me give you this Pew Research study. As I said, with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. Pew Research found that the category of guns accounted named as, quote, assault weapons, whatever the hell that is, accounts for only 3% of gun murders. 3%. And the other day, after the gunman tried to get into the
hall where President Trump was. Immediately, some leftists started saying, we need a crackdown on assault military-style weapons. The guy was armed with a pistol and a shotgun, which he bought legally. Now, maybe there was a break in the safety net for proper verification if he should have had them. But he did not have an assault rifle or a military-grade weapon. Speaking of the military, those of you who have served, and maybe those of you who had someone serve, you know what a Dear John letter is. A letter sent by a wife, a girlfriend, to the soldier on the field that they're breaking off, can't go on like this. And it goes the other way as well, now that we have more women in the military. But a Marine commandant, not commandant, but leader, was speaking to a crowd and telling them about a Dear John letter. Enjoy this.
I'd like to leave you with a short story about a young Marine named Ricky. It seems that after fighting in Sangin for 4 months, Ricky received a Dear John letter from his girlfriend back home. It read as follows. Dear Ricky, I can no longer continue our relationship. The distance between us is too great. I must admit that I have cheated on you twice since you've been gone, and it's not fair to either of us. I'm sorry. Please return the picture of me that I sent you. Regrets, Becky. He asked his fellow Marines for any snapshots that they could spare of their girlfriends, sisters, ex-girlfriends, or cousins. In addition to his picture of his now ex-girlfriend, Ricky included all the other pictures of the pretty girls he had collected from his buddies. There were 57 photos in the envelope that he sent back to Becky, along with this short note. Dear Becky, I'm sorry, but I can't quite remember who the hell you are. Please take your picture from the pile and send the rest back to me.
I love it. I love it. As always, thank you for listening. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.